Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
Hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue to investigate lies in the textbooks. Remember, these are the lies which are taught to our children from kindergarten to the 12th grade. Today we will be talking about Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. How does the textbook represent Judaism and Christianity compared to the religion of Islam? Are they all equal, or is there a superior religion over the others? That is what we will be exposing in this program. We will look at the passage and the teaching of the textbook. Then I will read to you the comments as it is given by Citizens for National Security. Then I will share with you my own personal comments. Let's begin with the textbook passage.
In the text, World Cultures and Geography, Eastern Hemisphere and Europe, published by Houghton Mifflin, Harcourt, McDougall Little, copyright 2005. On page 209, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam all share common traits. Judaism is a story of exile. Christians believe that Jesus was the promised Messiah. The Quran is the collection of God's revelations to Muhammad.
Now I would like to read to you the comments as written by William M. Koresh II and Dr. William A. Sexton in February 2012. This passage is offensive, false, and deceptive. The statement that Judaism is a story of exile suggests that Jews somehow were displaced from the land of Israel long ago, suggests that their modern claim to the land and residence is somehow not legitimate, and Judaism is far more than a story of exile. The whole notion that Judaism is a story of exile diminishes the Jewish religion and its prophecy of the coming Messiah. The Jewish people were the first to believe in a single, all-powerful, holy, and benevolent God who gave the Jews the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are considered by many scholars, including John Locke and William Blackstone, to be the basis of modern law. The Jewish prophets foretold the coming of Jesus Christ many hundreds of years before he was born of Jewish parentage descended from King David. There are significant differences between Islam, Judaism, and Christianity. For example, the Quran condones taqiyya, or deception, in order to further the goals of Islam. God of the Bible does not permit deception for any reasons. Christians believe that Jesus is divine and sent to forgive the sins of men. No such concept appears in Islam. The deceptive phrase that Christians believe that Jesus was the promised Messiah, while the Quran is the collection of God's revelation to Muhammad, create a false impression. Christians are reduced to the status of irrational believers, while the Quran is positioned as the absolute Word of God. Now, I would like to share my heart with you, my dear listeners. First of all, when you read this statement in our textbooks for our children, the first impression from our student to read these three words together, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, literally were brainwashing our children were infiltrating them to believe in this idea of three religions that believe in the same God. As you see, the word God with capital G-O-D is added to Muhammad revelation. And that leads our children to consider Islam to be equal to Judaism and Christianity. And the general talk about Islam to be just this wonderful religion without getting into the passages of the Quran, without getting into the doctrine and the belief of this book, it only benefits Muslims and Islam. But then when we get into breaking these three religions, one religion at a time, notice how the textbooks is written in a deceptive way to deceive our children by telling them, we have three religions here, boys and girls, but notice now, Islam is superior over Christianity and Judaism. How is that? Listen carefully. He or she stated, Judaism is a story. What do we know about the word story? It's not true. It's just a story. We're not sure if it did happen or not. But it's a story of what? It is a story of exile. Really? Is that all what we know about the whole entire religion of Judaism? You mean if I open the Bible, start from Genesis, all the way to the book of Malachi, this 39 book, all of it is just the story of the exile? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, Joshua, all the history books in the Bible, all the writings of the prophets in the Bible, they all talk about the exile? How ignorant are those who is telling me about Judaism without even know the books of the Judaism, the story of exile, like the story of Santa Claus around Christmas time. They are just stories. And I'm not surprised for our textbooks to teach this to our children, because what do you think they're going to teach our children in our textbooks about the book of Genesis? Maybe the first two chapters in the book of Genesis when we talk about creation. I mean, how in the world you expect our textbooks to tell some truths about the creation when all what we're doing in our textbooks is teaching evolution? Are you trying to tell me that the textbooks will mention creation in our public school? No, of course not. We already brainwash a whole generation of American students who right now are the teachers in our schools who believe there is no God, and if there is God, he's dead. And we evolved from monkeys, and evolution is true. Therefore, the story of creation in Genesis is not true. Therefore, all what we know about the religion of Judaism is, it's a story of exile. No, I'm sorry. There is so much more in Judaism than the story of exile. As a matter of fact, we could not understand the cult of Islam without knowing the accounts of all what took place from the creation of Adam and Eve all the way until the coming of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, to fulfill all the prophecies which are written in the Old Testament, the Jewish people, 39 books. We're talking about over 300 prophecy was written in the Jewish religion, the Old Testament of the Bible. But then notice what the textbook said about Christianity. They stated, Christians believe that Jesus was the promised Messiah. That's all? Is that everything we know about Christians? They believe in this fairy tale of Jesus Christ to be the promised Messiah? Why can't we teach some facts about Judaism and Christianity to our children? But notice how the textbook introduced Islam and Muhammad to our dear children. In the textbook, they said the Quran is a collection of God's, capital G-O-D, revelations to Muhammad. Why, first of all, they did not say that Muslims believe that the Quran is a collection of Allah revelation, not God now. We cannot use the capital G-O-D for the God of Muhammad, Allah. And what is this collection of these revelations? I wonder if the teachers in our public schools have any chance to read my translation of the Quran, or as a matter of fact, any English translation of the Quran, to learn about these revelations which Allah revealed to Muhammad. If I open the Quran, I will see it is a dumb counterfeit to the accounts of the Bible. When I say a dumb counterfeit, people sometimes misunderstand me. They don't know what I really mean by that. It's very simple. If you're going to make a counterfeit for a dollar, you have to keep it in the same size of the real dollar. You have to keep it in the same thickness, paper-wise, of the real dollar. You cannot make it from heavier or thinner paper. They must be the same color. I don't care how much you love grandpa or grandma. Their picture will not work. Why? If you do not use George Washington picture, it will be known as a dumb counterfeit. And that's how you make a counterfeit. Counterfeit, really, it is equal to the real in almost everything except it is fraud. Different size, different shape, different color, different picture, different wording. It will make it a dumb counterfeit. And the closer the counterfeit of the money to the original money, to the point people cannot see the difference, is that is what we call a perfect counterfeit. And that is exactly the revelation of the Quran. It is the stories of the Bible rewritten with many changes of numbers, information, names, to the point you can't help but to laugh when you read the Quran. That is what I mean by my statement that the Quran is a dumb counterfeit of the Bible.
In our short time together here on Revealing the Truth About Islam, we can only cover a portion of all that we would like to share. Please take a few moments today and visit our website at www.thestraightway.org to find more information about the Straight Way of Grace Ministry and the Darkness of Islam. Our website has several links to many resources for further study, including a detailed listing of the many seminars we offer on DVD. Topics include, is the Quran infallible? Has the Bible been corrupted? The treatment of women in Islam? Muhammad or Christ? What the Quran teaches about Jesus? And many more. Have you always wanted to read what the Quran actually teaches, but didn't know which translation to trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the many violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After several years of research and networking with scholars around the world, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry has recently offered the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever published. Filled with study notes to the reader and a careful comparison of key passages of the Quran and the Bible, this translation will arm you with the knowledge you need in reaching those lost in the darkness of Islam. Please take a few moments today and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org for all these resources and more. And now, back to our show.
The textbooks claim that the Quran is a collection of God's revelation to Muhammad. Is that true? Let's look at the story of creation in the Quran. Notice that the Quran does not teach evolution, but creation. But the reason I said the creation story in the Quran is a dumb counterfeit is the contradiction in the passages of the Quran. For example, if you go to Quran chapter 11, verse 7, you read that Allah created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. And then Allah sat on His throne. And His throne was on the water. 6 days, creation. But if you go to another passage in the Quran, like in chapter 41, verse 9, you will see that Allah created the heaven and the earth in 8 days. Listen to what Allah said. Have you become infidels in Him who created the earth in 2 days, and you make partners with Him? That is the Lord of the worlds. In verse 10, and He made in it stabilizers on top of it, and He has blessed it, and He measured in it provision in 4 equal days. 2 days, the creation of the earth, and He made the provision in it 4 days, that is 6 days. To those who ask, in verse 11, then He turned to the heaven, and it was smoke. So He said to it, and to the earth, come willingly or gradually. They said, we come willingly. Then verse 12, so He completed them 7 heavens in 2 days, and revealed to every heaven its affair. So Allah created the earth in 2 days. Creates the provision on the earth in 4 days, and then He created the heavens in 2 days. 2 plus 4 plus 2 equal 8 days. That is one great poo-poo Muhammad put in the Quran. Let's add to it. What did Allah create first, the heavens or the earth? If you read throughout the Quran, you'll notice that Allah always mentions that He created the heavens first and then He created the earth. But in this passage, in chapter 41, Allah created the earth and then He created the heaven. That is the opposite of what is written in the rest of the repeated story of Muhammad in the Quran. Allah made a boo-boo or Muhammad made a boo-boo. Now, is this a true revelation we present to our children in our public schools about this wonderful religion of Islam? Well, how about the numbers of heaven and the number of earth? You see, in Quran chapter 65 verse 12, Allah said, Allah is He who creates seven heavens and the same number of earth. So we're talking about seven heavens and seven earth. Is this what a liberal Muslim or an atheist teacher is proud to present to our children in our public school because he or she do not believe in the six-day creation of the Bible and because they are just evolutionists? I wonder why these teachers have no problem to make fun of the Bible, but not one of them are willing to open the Quran and teach the truth about the science of the Quran to our children. But they will not do that. I believe these liberals and the Muslim will never open the Quran to teach our children the truth of the Quran. They just will talk about the Quran. How wonderful is this true revelation of Allah to Muhammad? But not one of them will open the Quran to investigate it like I do right now with you. Is there seven heavens and seven earth? I always hear the liberal and the atheist mock the Bible and Christianity, but I never heard one of them mock Muhammad or Islam because they are cowards and they know the day they will speak against Islam, they will be killed by the Muslim. What does the Bible say about the number of heavens? There are three heavens. The heaven of the earth, that's where the birds and aeroplane fly. The heaven of the stars, that's the sun and the moon and the stars. And then the heaven of heavens, that is the third heaven, where Paul was ascended to, where John was ascended to. Only three heavens. And how many earths, the Bible said? The Bible says there are one earth, and that is proven scientifically. There is only one earth. How many Muslims can show me the other six earths so we can all believe in the great revelation which Allah revealed and sent to His Prophet Muhammad, as we read, sadly, written by someone who is ignorant in our textbooks for our children? That is just a small glimpse of the story of creation as it is written in the Quran. There's so much about creation you can read in my new book, Exposing the Truth About the Quran, The Revelation of Error. And you have a great time seeing how corrupt is the passages of the Quran concerning creation. How about other stories which Muhammad copied from the Bible in the Quran? Like maybe the story of Noah. So many of our atheists and liberal do not believe in Noah's flood. But if you open the Quran, guess what? Muhammad talked about Noah's flood. But sadly, it is also a dumb counterfeit to the account of the Bible. What do you mean by that, Brother Usama? It's very simple. The Bible tells a clear account of Noah. You do not need to read interpretation of any Christian or Jewish scholar to understand the history of Noah. Just read about it in the book of Genesis. But the story of Noah is repeated throughout the Quran, and Muhammad makes many errors in it. For example, he stated that Noah had one son, and this son drowned in the flood. Let's compare this to the Bible. Noah had three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and three daughters-in-law. And Noah and his wife, eight people, has been saved from the flood. But that's not the story in the Quran. For in the Quran, Noah have one son. And when you read the interpretation of Muslim scholars, you see that this son's name is Canaan, which is literally, according to the Bible, is the grandson of Noah, who was not born until after the flood. But in the Quran, Muhammad drowned the grandson of Noah before he was born. What a wonderful revelation. And I can go on and on and on with every story Muhammad copied from the Bible and he put in the Quran. There's plenty of error. That's why I wrote my new book, The Revelation of Error. 800 pages of error just concerning the stories which Muhammad copied from the Bible into the Quran. I don't know how long we'll be deceiving our children. I believe it's about time for all the parents, for all the grandparents, to speak to the public school and those who publish these books for our children. We give you the names of the books. We give you the pages of these books. Somebody needs to speak out loud to remove all this propaganda and all these lies from the textbooks. Now here is the summary from Citizens for National Security. Judaism is not a story of exile. It is the story of the Jewish belief in a single, benevolent, compassionate, and omnipotent God, the first in history. It is also the story of God's gift to the Jews of the Ten Commandments that are the basis of modern law. Islam has very little in common with Christianity or its roots of Judaism. The Jewish scripture prophesied the coming Messiah who would be the savior of the world. The Jewish claim to Israel is legitimate and over 3,000 years old, or 2,400 years before Muhammad dictated the Quran. This is the true history which we must teach our children in our public schools, not these propaganda lies which sadly we're using to brainwash our children as we teach them that Judaism is just a story. And Christianity, that's the belief of some ignorant Christians. But Islam is the true revelation of God to Muhammad. To learn more about lies in the textbooks, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until we meet again, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that You sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite You to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity. Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.